Alexander, Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, and Kelly Bidlin. This is VSiN's Primetime Action powered by DraftKings right here on MSG+. Here are the most bet player props on this game, in case you're curious, at DraftKings. Before this game started, you know, Matt had his picks, but what did people bet more than any? DK Metcalf to have the first touchdown was the most bet prop, 6-1.
Still live. We hadn't had a touchdown
still
yet.
Live. Still live.
Still live. No touchdowns yet.
Will Disley got dissed because people like the under 2.5 receptions on Disley. Seahawks start the next set of downs with a run that loses 3 yards. Tyler Lockett, first touchdown score, is the third most bet thing at 7-1. Also still alive. Russell Wilson over 2.5 touchdown passes, plus 160 at fourth. And then another first touchdown scorer in fifth most bet, Chris Carson to be the first touchdown scorer at 9-1. So Metcalf at 6-1, Lockett at 7-1, Carson at 9-1, all Seahawks, all in the top five, all still pending.
This is just the running on early downs is so on brand for Pete Carroll.
Can we just throw the football?
I mean,
I thought they had gotten away from that this year a little bit, and now they're right back to it because Carson's back.
The old notion of establishing the run is not made for this era of football. Wilson just looking for Disley. That one goes into the dirt, and it's going to be third and long. By the way, that was Hollister he was looking for there, not Disley. So third and 13, and now we are in perpetual third and longs for both teams. The Eagles have virtually no shot at converting those. The Seahawks, a little better. But Russell Wilson, under pressure there, had to move up in the pocket, had to throw it. Hollister was well covered. 12-17 left in the second quarter in a scoreless game in Philly.
Not sure he couldn't have gotten 7 or 8
if he ran it
on the ground there.
There's a couple times.
It seemed like he'd have gotten about the same amount with his legs than he could have completing that pass right there. Oh, no.
Wilson up top. Got a man. Metcalf down at the 1.
And your first touchdown, DK Metcalf, is going to get poached from you.
Is going to get vultured. brought about a big groan in the sports book.
It doesn't matter. Here comes the triple reverse quarterback throwback pat, whatever. lose 11 yards.
DK Metcalf had gotten behind the defense, had him the whole way, and Russell Wilson, with a perfect sort of arc to his pass, allowed Metcalf to run under it and get the big gainer. First down play is a run, and that goes nowhere.
If the ball doesn't get in the end zone here, Gil, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to lose it.
We're going to lose our minds on that.
Danielle, I'm assuming 101 puts Metcalf over his prop by a long shot there. So if you're holding that ticket, at least that's the only thing to be happy about at this point. If you're holding DK Metcalf tickets through a quarter in 3.5 minutes, that's the only thing to be happy about.
Talk about an outlier in this game. That kind of receiving stat line for that player with what we've just seen for the past quarter.
6 for 101 already for Metcalf.
The Seahawks have now had 5 plays inside the 5. They have failed to score. Here's a little fade touchdown. Moore. David Moore is your winner for first touchdown scored. Wilson to Moore as Matt wins his fake bet.
I do. I win the fake bet, guys.
Yeah. We get a winner video.
Pay me all. I don't even get a winner video for my fake bet.
We literally had three Seahawks.
Tony says you do.
There we go. All right.
Stop it already. We literally had 3. By the way, do I get the 40 for Tyler Hero in that Miami Heat game then? They get the 40 units on that one, the 40-1?
Tony judges it downstairs. I have nothing to do with it.
That's a touchdown for the Seahawks. They finally score on their 6th play from inside the 5-yard line, 5-yard line or more inside than that, or closer to the goal line, I should say. Extra point pending. And it is up and good. 7-0 Seahawks. Only took them just over 19 minutes in this football game.
They should not run the ball more than 5 times the rest of this game.
Stop with it.
Yeah. Like the rest of this game, they are running into the line for 1 yard a carry and instead just throw the ball. He's 10 of 14 for 127. Like, what are we doing here?
Can we just say about Russell Wilson, though? DK Metcalf got behind Darius Slay. And Wilson, and this is, you know, I'm trying to think, if you watch Michigan games, not to pick on Joe Milton, but this is the thing, Joe Milton has a receiver, and I get we're talking about a Hall of Famer versus a college kid playing his first games, but just that's who the first person leapt into mind.
Yeah, I'm like, Joe Milton, yep.
Yeah, totally. Joe Milton.
Yeah,
everything he throws is a line drive. And Russell Wilson, right, is like, I'm going to just throw this ball up in the air beautifully and let DK run under it.
That was a, now I'm going to go even more random on you, Gil, but me covering Lamar Jackson in high school, I was like, he's never going to make it because he struggled so much early throwing the ball like that. There was never any arc. Yeah. He had so much strength, but there was no arc that he could put under for long throws down the field. So I honestly, he's come a long way since then.
Let's update the line.
So with that, we are now at 10.5 in favor of the Seahawks. 41 on the total.
Getting back up there.
Hey, we're not dead yet.
We're not dead yet.
Not dead. Just a Carson Wentz pick six right here, and we're good to go.
We have 42.5 and 43 respectively on teasers.
One guy who can throw the ball however he wants, Mahomes yesterday. Who was the poor cornerback that he just kept picking on, and it seemed like balls were whizzing by his ear? It was just like, I'm going to throw it right by your ear, right into Tyreek Hill's arms, and it'll be a touchdown. That happened a couple times.
How about Todd Bowles just insisting on single coverage of Tyreek Hill yesterday?
Yeah, bold strategy. Bold strategy.
Mahomes even said after the game, he goes, so, you know, we don't usually see that.
Yeah. I mean, that was incredibly, incredibly poor decision-making with Tyreek Hill. I mean, that was one of those things. So basically, I'm pretty sure majority of the time those were Carlton Davis, I think.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It was him.
And I think he was in coverage the majority of the time. He's more Jalen Ramsey, like cover the big physical receivers. And he's not, there's not very many people that are like cover Tyreek Hill one-on-one as it is anyway, but he's not the cover Tyreek Hill one-on-one type corner or whatever. Like that was just a bad coaching scheme. It wasn't his fault. That's just not his, his skill set. Right. I mean,
in fairness to Todd Bowles, former Super Bowl champion with Washington, you know, pick your poison. That's probably not the poison you pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tyreek Hill, first quarter yesterday. First quarter. Not first half, first quarter. 7 catches for 203 yards.
Back flipping into end zones and everything, yeah.
Fantasy players got 50 points out of him yesterday. Yeah.
So another game that we didn't hit on yet before we get going here in this other one is that Titans-Colts game. And, you know, one of the things we talked about so heavily was the absence of those two players on the Colts defensive line and what that would do to this run defense that had been so, so good throughout the course of the year. And, you know, we talk about injuries a lot, and because it should factor in how you look at games, but especially games where the injuries directly affect how teams want to play. And we talk about this Titans team. What do they want to do first and foremost? And that's run Derrick Henry. 27 carries would have been more, but they were just up so much. They didn't need him after a while. But 27 carries, 178 yards, 3 touchdowns. And when you talk about two key members of a defensive line specifically for this Colts team, you look at these matchups, and that's why we harp on this stuff. And I know y'all probably think I'm a dork whenever I talk about all these things, like so in depth with like, hey, why is it this matchup is so bad? But if you take DeForest Buckner out of the center of that defensive line, and you have a guy like Derrick Henry,
yeah,
and now the second man up, who by the way, Buckner would have struggled anyway because it's Derrick Henry as it is, but he has a much better chance of success than anybody who is going to be lining up outside of that. And it just, it manifested perfectly for how we looked at that game. And he just ran wild, was like, looked like a man amongst boys out there. And it was just a complete beatdown.
First half yesterday, Indianapolis ended up yielding more points in the first half yesterday, 35 points, than in any full game this season. So that's how it went for the Colts yesterday against Derrick Henry. 35 points for the Titans in the first half. Derrick Henry himself in the first half, 17 carries for 140 yards and 3 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. That's the first half. Ended up with 27 carries for 178 yards and 3 touchdowns. And here on the screen at MSG Plus, those are your Derrick Henry splits. First couple months, and you know the narrative on him is actually true. It just, he gets better as the game goes on. He gets better as the year goes on. He'll wear you down.
He's so big, strong, and physical that these defenses, after they've played 10, 12 games, it's the NFL season. You're getting in car crashes every single week, right? And so you're just going to be a little bit more tired. You're going to be a little bit more beat up. You're going to be a little less strong than you were the week before. And then you got to go try and tackle that guy. And it's just, it really is. It's awesome. When he's, what do you, like to me, and I know people are going to think this is crazy, but I prefer like Derrick Henry ripping off a, a huge run almost over any other play in the, like, I think that is the awesomest play to watch
aesthetically.
Yeah.
And
like,
yeah,
then,
no, I agree.
Then, like, I know some people like the, you know, the 80 yard bombs, like the, you know, the 75 yarder to Tyreek. It was, is fun to watch as well. But Derrick Henry at his size,
yes,
and then to see his speed just click into that second gear. And when,
I agree.
I just, that to me is like the ultimate football play to
something
watch.
Something about a man that size with that kind of speed. By the way, the Eagles have a shot at a third down conversion. It's third and two, and they are not
going to get it. And it was so predictable
they
would
try to run off right tackle, and I believe called timeout for that. And was Jalen Hurts in that game? I missed the so Carson Wentz gets the snap. No,
it was
nothing to do with Jalen Hurts. I guess he was lined up outside.
No, that was Hurts.
Oh yeah, no, Hurts took the snap. Carson Wentz was lined up outside. Mm. Pardon me, that's right. But regardless, didn't go anywhere. So the Eagles with their fourth and out, that was Miles Sanders on the carry, their fourth three and out to start this game. And it's another punt down 7-0. Jamal Adams pressuring Carson Wentz on the first play of that drive. And the Seahawks will score. Oh my goodness. What a hit on the punt return. Seahawks will start it out 1st and 10 at their own 34. Up 7-0, 9:25, still an eternity to go in the first half of this.
We're just going to continue to try and go at these teams' strengths as opposed to the weaknesses. We said Seahawks run defense. They are a pass funnel defense. They are really good at defending the run. Top 8 DVOA, top 4 according to Pro Football Focus. They defend the run really well, and we've given you all the numbers about defending the pass, and yet we're just going to continue to try to go at the strength as opposed to going at the...
Let me go back to a few games yesterday that we haven't gotten to, believe it or not. And this is in the category. Early we did the category of what do you get from these specific teams, Rams, Cardinals, or Raiders on a given week. Let's just go to the bad teams. Jacksonville had a chance with a 2-point conversion to tie up Cleveland yesterday and force either the Browns to do something late or force an overtime. Jacksonville had the ball in their hands. 2-point conversion failed. Cleveland ends up beating Jacksonville 27-25. Jacksonville covers as 7.5-point dogs. Giants end up beating the Bengals 19-17. Giants dominated in the box score, but somehow Brandon Allen and the Bengals had the ball with just a field goal chance. If they could have just gotten into field goal territory, they would have had a chance to win that game. A fumble, though, with under a minute. Giants sealed that deal. And then there's the Jets, who lost to the Dolphins 0-11 now. It's the Jets' longest losing streak since the Rich Kotite era, specifically 95-96. That was a 12-game losing streak. They lose 20-3. Let me just say this about the Jets. I know they're bad, but the refs didn't help him yesterday either. Did you see that Devontae Parker catch? Mm-hmm. Catch in quotes. That set up the Dolphins' first touchdown. It withstood replay like it wasn't even close to being a catch. So as bad as the Jets are, they were given no favors either. And you're like, this team can't buy a break in any way. So anyway, those three teams, Jacksonville and Bengals had a shot. The Jets did not.
Yeah, the Jags, I mean, look, that was one of the things why I was... You know, we were talking about plays that we would have run from in Survivor, and I was talking about how to run from the Browns, because without Myles Garrett out there, without Denzel Ward out there, a already shaky defense becomes a pretty below average, if not bad defense, you know? And so we were able to see the Jags move the ball all right, considering they were without their top two wide receivers in this game. You know, they didn't have DJ Chark or Chris Conley, and they were still able to move the ball as it was. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, there's the Browns and Nick Chubb. I mean, Nick Chubb was phenomenal, 19 carries for 144 yards in that game. I mean, he was unbelievable. But yeah, I mean, this Browns team, again, another one of those teams where 8-3, good on them. They're likely heading to the playoffs.
Paper tiger.
But
yeah,
I cannot wait to bet against them at the very first opportunity.
I was hoping...
hey, guys, 1st and 10 run, by the way. I'm sure that shocks you that there's a 1st and 10
for
run.
For no yards, and then a flag comes up at the end, so I think there would have been a face mask at the end of that.
I was hoping that would be this week, Matt, with the Titans, and I looked at the number on the opener at 4 last night, and I was like, you know what? There might be some Browns money. Come in. I'm going to wait, and then today, 5.5, 6.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just don't know. Tennessee's been really impressive lately. Don't know that I'm willing to lay six with them.
I guessed 6.5 this morning, and Chrissy Andrews, who runs the South Point Sportsbook behind us, he told me that last night it was 4.
Yeah.
So if we had done the show last night, I would have been incredulous by that line. But Cleveland, I mean, that's, by the way, when we were going through games this morning for next week, there's a lot of bad football games next week on paper. Like, the matchups are terrible. But that was the one game that stood out, at least on paper. Cleveland 8-3, Tennessee 8-3. Tennessee now sole possession of the lead in the AFC South. Cleveland currently in wild card position in the AFC. They're I think they called a horse collar here. Did they? They were deciding. Yes, it is a horse collar.
Yeah.
First and 10.
Because they changed it now to where you don't have to be from the back as long as you're inside the as long as you're inside the collar. Because that was from the side, but still, it's just that's the way they do the rule now.
So 9 minutes left in the second quarter. First and 10 for the Seahawks. They're up 7-0 against the Eagles. They called their own 49, just shy of midfield. Russell Wilson fakes the handoff, doesn't have much to go, then dumps it off to Chris Carson for one of the most enjoyable five-yard gains you'll ever see.
In 74, the offensive lineman was just spectating. He was just like, I don't even know what's going on here.
It'll be 2nd and 5. We got to go to break. We'll come back. We have the Seahawks in-game bets. Kelly and I do. We've got our pre-flop. Our pre-flop, we got to get some points here for our teaser.
Sitting 12-41 on the line.
Yeah, I'm a little shy on the total. We'll come back. Beasts Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings. Powered by MSG, or powered by DraftKings, I should say, right here on MSG+.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and new customers get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. It's easy. Sign up with the promo code VSIN, that's V-S-I-N, to claim your exclusive offer. Plus, think you qualify to join the DraftKings VIP program? You could enjoy exclusive benefits, promotional offers, top-tier customer support, and personalized contests. Visit DraftKings.com/VSIN to learn more. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey and Pennsylvania only. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Gil, Matt.
Thank you, Danielle. Danielle getting chilly. She put on the jacket right there. She's all right. It's 2nd and goal, by the way. The Seahawks are on the doorstep once again, up 7-0, 5:35 left in the second quarter. Big play to DK Metcalf, who already has 7 catches for over 100 yards to get them in that range. Russell Wilson throws the ball away on first. Oh, but was there a flag? Is this another one on the Eagles? Did they hit Russell Wilson late? Let me just say, the Eagles' stats at this point in this football game are a sight to behold. And let me just go through them real quick, because it's worth mentioning how bad they are right now. No first downs. 0 first downs. Remember, it's 4 3-and-outs. They're 0 for 5.
Oh, they're calling grounding.
Oh, they're calling grounding on Russell Wilson on that one. They didn't call grounding on a previous play on this drive, and they called grounding on that.
It looked to me like Tyler Lockett just kind of like cut his route off, which see like he just kind of stopped.
Wait a minute. That should not have been grounding at all. That's a bizarre call.
I hate this penalty in the NFL. That is, it's so subjective. I hate it so much.
But that, like, and you wouldn't even have thought that was grounding on that play.
I probably saw 6 worse this weekend that don't get called.
Feels like a makeup call for the non-grounding before. 0 first downs for the Eagles. They're 0 for 5 on third downs. They have 4 total yards, the Eagles on offense, -5 passing. They've run 15 plays to Seattle's 34. 2 sacks of Carson Wentz. They have 6 penalties for 46 yards. 2nd and goal now for the Seahawks after the grounding at the 16. That's a run up the gut, and it's a big one.
Get
Carson inside the 5, inside, into the end zone. Big, big run for Chris Carson. Man.
That was a grown man run.
A grown man run. By the way, we didn't like the run, but we liked it there.
That was a grown man run right there.
16-yard run.
Right there is so what it is it's when you run them predictable situations. That's where it's like they run on first and 10 all the time.
Well, Warren Sharp talks about that all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you, when you run on these predictable situations, like right there, it's unpredictable. And so therefore you get this hole because the defense is thinking you're going to pass. It's like, it's just, you're basically do the opposite most of the time of what Pete Carroll is going to do. And if you did that, then you'd be running like the optimal offense.
It goes back to what you were talking about a little bit earlier with the whole, I mean, it's no secret. It hasn't been a secret for years now. You don't need to run the ball for play action to work.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's what it feels like they're doing every time, trying to set that up.
Chris Carson carried Rodney McLeod in the end zone. Extra point good, 14-0 Seahawks, 5:27 left in the second quarter.
16.5 on the live line, 42.5 on the total. We're creeping back on up there.
Creep.
We might need a little help from the Eagles for this, though, and I don't know if we're going to get it.
Good luck, gentlemen.
That's why I just cited the Eagles stats, and let me just say this. So yesterday in that, again, ridiculous, and I'm not like everybody who's saying that the NFL was wrong in not postponing it. I actually think it's consistent with their rules, as we talked about earlier. But it was still like a huge competitive disadvantage for the Broncos. No argument there. And you had a football game that felt like it was a 1950s football game, where once the Saints scored their second touchdown. So when it went from 7-0 to 14-0, it was still in the first half. I immediately said, and I think I'm probably amongst millions who were watching this game, insurmountable. Mm-hmm. Once they got the second touchdown, there was no way the Broncos had enough, based on the fact that Kendall Hinton was, you know, had one day to prepare for this. There was no way the Broncos were going to get back into this game. Can I say the same thing for what we're watching here?
Pretty cool. I mean, I said the same thing in the Packers Bears game. As soon as the Packers got up two scores, I was like, "That's it."
Are the Ball Eagles game. That bad? Where this game is effectively just cosmetic from this point forward, and it's just about what you bet.
I think it's about. I was going to say it's still about our bets are still.
Listen, the reason we're here. Yeah, the reason the NFL for years has been the most popular sport, they don't want to acknowledge it, is because we're all betting on this.
Yeah, as far as though the Eagles straight up winning this game, yeah, no dice.
It's 195-4. That is just...
When you have 4 total yards and no first downs, 25 minutes into a football game, just shy of 25 minutes, it really inspire the fact that you can come back from a 2-touchdown deficit. We'll see. Carson Wentz, 2 of 8 for 4 yards. See what Doug Peterson has up his sleeve. I'm predicting not much. Eagles with a win lead their division. Behind the 8-ball, big time right now. Coming back on VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings.
This holiday shopping weekend is the perfect time to sign up for VSiN. New subscribers get 25% off the regular price of an annual all-access membership plus a $30 credit to the VSiN store. Subscribe today and you'll get our brand new College Hoops Guide, which is overflowing with everything you need for the season, our daily Best Bets email, Point Spread Weekly, 24/7 video streaming, and the chance to pick up a new VSiN t-shirt, mug, or hat for the holidays. Don't miss this deal. You can go to VSiN.com to look up that one. Gil.
Thank you, Danielle. While we were gone, I think the Eagles must have heard me say, can they actually come back from 40 more deficit? Because not just one, but 2 first downs for the Philadelphia Eagles. The first one converted on a 2nd and 18 by Carson Wentz himself using his feet. But now it's 2nd and 10 for the Eagles right around midfield. We are actually hoping for an Eagles scoring drive here.
I'm guessing it's too early to play the winner video, but
for what, my UNC win?
Well, no, I have Carson Wentz over 11.5 rushing. He has 20. It would have to be, multiple knees.
I think you can get a winner for that. I think we can call that.
Jalen Reagor.
Is it too early to call? We're calling it downstairs.
We're calling it. Yep.
Downstairs is calling it. All right. Downstairs is calling it.
Winner.
I mean, he'd have to go backwards a long way. Now, if anybody could do it.
Now, Carl, I was going to say.
It might be
him. You know what? I'll be happy to get a loser video if he loses 9 yards somehow.
Jalen Reagor got you some yards on a catch on the second down play. And on third down, right at the sticks, that's going to be another first down for the Eagles.
Let's do it.
Let's get some points, Eagles. 3 minutes left in the second quarter. Kelly, you want a college basketball update for everybody?
Yeah, I'll do some quick ones here. Loyola Marymount, Minnesota wrapped in a pretty tight game, 47-43, a little under 13 left in the game there. Minnesota, 6-point live favorite, 145 is your live total. Not much else that is close right now, gentlemen. Stanford, Alabama just getting started. Stanford up 3-0 early.
Kelly, can we see a shot of Kelly again one time? Whoa. Kelly, what happened to you? You're not a ghost.
Tony's been playing with those cameras.
Oh, all right.
Oh. See how you affect.
See, we were, you know.
So now I'm just red.
I was telling people. Yeah, but I mean, we need to show people. We need to show, you know, you match the VEASAN logo behind you there.
Really wear some sunscreen, like a higher SPF.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm either no sun at all or sunburnt. So you can take one or the other.
Trey Flowers' illegal use of the hands on Jalen Reagor. So Eagles now on the edge of field goal range.
And we're welcoming points here.
We are welcoming points. That's what I said. We're welcoming points for our teaser, for our Seahawks over teaser. Would you prefer the touchdown over the field goal?
I'll take the touchdown.
I would be happy with the touchdown.
Get us almost halfway there.
The reason is because I have no confidence in the Eagles being able to do this again. And then a snap way over Carson Wentz's head. He picks it up and he's, he gets rid of it. He does get rid of it.
Doesn't get back to the line of scrimmage.
It's a big, big incompletion from Carson Wentz because that would have been next to a 30-yard loss.
Are they telling me there's a guy in the area, Matt? I don't have a great view of this.
That did not look like it got back to the line of scrimmage.
I think he did. I think he did on the pass. Just past the line of scrimmage. So it's going to be 2nd and 10. That's a big scoop. So that was a snap that went way over Carson Wentz.
That's a game changer right there.
It's literally a field position changer, but maybe a game changer as well. 2:34 now left. And instead of 2nd and 30 at a minimum, would have been 2nd and 35. It's now 2nd and 10. Pete Carroll upset. Wanted the grounding, but it did get back to the line of scrimmage barely. Wentz in shotgun now. 2nd and 10 at the Seahawks 36. If you bet our
Let's get back to the run game though, guys.
Oh, up the gut, Boston.
Establish the run.
If there's one thing you gotta do now, down 14, it's establish the run.
Let's definitely do that.
Little 6-yard carry. Not a bad outcome there for
No, that did not get back to the line of scrimmage.
That is terrible. That is atrocious.
2 yards short of the line of scrimmage.
This is what I've been talking about. They're gonna call grounding on one end, and that one is egregious.
Yeah. The grounding on Russell Wilson made no sense.
No. Now,
they got the touchdown anyway because Chris Carson ran it like a man into the end zone. But that there wasn't even a thought watching that was grounding.
The lack of grounding here is more egregious. I mean, that is, it's
like
not,
that was 2 yards short of the line of scrimmage.
2 yards short. There's nobody there. Yeah.
Hey, 2 yards short.
Drive me insane.
So what you're suggesting is there's no consistency in NFL officiating. Is that what you're suggesting? This is the first I've ever heard this.
There was a ref standing on the line of scrimmage. He should have just walked up and said, like, no, that didn't get to me.
The ball almost hits you.
Yeah.
Okay, if the ball doesn't hit you and it's to your left, it's not far enough. If it went to your right, it might be far enough.
Have I mentioned that the Devontae Parker call yesterday was the worst thing that ever happened in NFL officiating?
Apparently going to have to go look this up again because I didn't think
it was that egregious. Got to be honest with you.
Oh, stop.
I didn't really.
He didn't catch the ball, and then it survived replay.
Actually, didn't think it was that egregious. Oh, maybe I was looking at it through rose-colored glasses
I think you were. But that was, so it does. The angle we had from behind Carson Wentz looked like it got to the line of scrimmage. A subsequent angle reveals he didn't come close. A couple yards shy.
Yeah, that was like 2 full yards short.
Should be an easy call, but apparently not.
It's 1 Matt Brown short.
2 minutes left in the first half here. The Eagles have to come up with something. Field goal minimum. Not just for our bets, but for themselves.
14.5 on the live line. 42 is our live total.
Hovering.
We're right at it. A touchdown here would be nice.
We need a touchdown.
Yeah.
Field goal is going to feel empty.
Field goal is not going to get it done.
No, field goal is not going to get it done because that will probably end the half.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they'll leave the Seahawks some time, but that's not going to get it done. I just have no, there's no confidence that the Eagles will be able to replicate what has been a mini drive.
None.
That's where we stand right here. By the way, Russell Wilson, 13 of 18 for 152 and a touchdown. Much of that on the big play to DK Metcalf. But again, putting up the stats, Metcalf 7 for 118. So 118 of the 152 to Metcalf himself. But that big play that set up the initial Seahawks touchdown, the big play of this game. But that play by Wentz that does not get flagged right there is the biggest Eagles play of the game, keeps them in scoring range.
Yeah.
Keeps them in this game.
Yeah, I don't even know how that's like just so, that's so easy to call.
So bad. Apparently the guys in the broadcast were going nuts about it too.
Oh, okay.
As they should be.
All right.
How do you feel about that group, that broadcast team, Kelly?
What was that?
How do you? Oh, never mind.
I'm not a big fan of what just happened on the field. I don't care what they're saying.
As we go to break, we'll take you through the 3rd and 5 play now for the Eagles at the 31-yard line. Big play here, obviously. High leverage situation early. Wentz, shotgun, decides to run it up the gut. Easy first down. And right. The Eagles will have it 1st and 10 at the 18 when we come back. VSiN's primetime action powered by DraftKings.